We all do the same thing, don't we, when it comes to our life. Everything's not always black and white for us the way we think in our human reasoning. And many times we pick out something in the middle, don't we? We finished up by making the point that we can't serve both God and man. We can't live in a gray area to where we seek ourselves, the things of this world partially, and then we give what's left to Christ to serve Him. Christ was very, very clear about not accepting that. That's not an option for us. He won't accept that at all, will He? So when it comes to our service to Him, let's look at hot versus lukewarm. Probably didn't even have to write a scripture down. And if I ask you to study lukewarm, I would venture to say that about every one of us would have went to the church at Laodicea, wouldn't we? Because it's just such a prominent thought in our mind. We make points with Laodicea and we look at it, but until you slow down and really take your time with it, you can blaze over and miss a whole lot of stuff that we can learn from that. So let's take some time this morning and look at this church of Laodicea, learn some lessons from it, make some applications from it. There was a time in history when China was a very, very bad place to be. They murdered Christians. They beheaded hundreds of Christians. China really resisted letting Christianity into itself as a country. And it was very ugly there, and a lot of people lost their lives trying to bring Christ to those people. I often think they were beheaded or they were exterminated for the simple fact that they wouldn't deny Christ. They were given the opportunity to deny Christ, but they wouldn't deny Christ. We see the martyrs from our studies in God's Word that He recorded for us. And, you know, I've often thought in my studies, I don't think we can say what we would do. I know what we hope we would do, and we hope our faith would be great enough that we would do what was right and we would stand for God. And I often make an application to today's world on that. If you had a choice, if you had to deny Christ or face your death, that's really when your faith is going to be tested, isn't it? I'm thankful that we've never had to do that. But it happened in times past. It can happen again in the future. You look at the world, some of the thoughts that I had, especially in the religious world, and you see a lot that won't even adhere to God's authority and to God's Word because they want something else. And we can all fall into that. We've got to guard against that. And it's almost the opposite of what we saw from these martyrs. These martyrs were willing to die rather than to deny Christ. Today, do we see that conviction? I mean, not only do they leave Christ, but they more or less deny Him many times or deny what He's asked them to do simply for their own pleasure or what they want. You know, you might hear something said if you were placed in a position like that. Hold on, wait a minute. I think I can make a statement that 'll satisfy both sides. And I don't think any of us would be shocked to hear that somebody would try to do that. We live in a world today, don't we, that's politically correct. We're allowed to have everything the way we want it, we think, or we demand. So many people would try to ride that fence, wouldn't they? They would try to make a comment or try to make a decision that would commit to neither side. Nobody wants to deny Christ. Nobody wants to die. But when it comes to our serving Him, we have to make that very decision. We have to die ourselves and live our lives for Him. And when you apply it that way, you kind of see what we have to do and the magnitude of it. That's a tough thing to think about. But think about it just on your life of your service. Are you willing to die to Christ? Are you willing to put your old man to death to live for Him? Let's just read Revelations 3. You're probably already there. That's where the message to Laodicea is. Revelations 3, 14 through 22. And refresh your memory about this church that was there. It says, "And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you're lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I'm rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness might not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and be with him. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." This Laodicean church was experiencing some problems, wasn't it? It seems they tried to ride this fence. They tried to exist in a state where they never really committed either way and just existed. That's why a brief study of them, I think, we can make application to ourselves as individuals. We can make application to ourselves as church, because the church is made up of the individuals. So it's easy to make those applications to both the individual and the church when it comes to these characteristics. Hot versus lukewarm. This condition that we see at Laodicea. Verses 15 and 16, he says, "I know your works. They're neither hot or cold, are they? I wish they were. So, because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth." This was a church of compromisers. This was a church that was content to sit back and not commit to Christ, just sit in a stagnant state, and compromise their dedication that they had to their God. You don't see a lot recorded in God's Word about the church of Laodicea, but you don't see them being persecuted a lot. You don't see a lot of writing to them about problems or heresies that they had among them. Probably because, you know, there just wasn't a lot of activity there. Seems that they were afflicted, I guess you would say, with indifference. How would you define indifference?
Don't care either way.
Not committed. You know, I looked up the actual definition. It says having no particular interest or sympathy. Unconcerned. That's the attitude that they had. Jesus said that they were lukewarm. Lukewarm is tepid, straddlers, setters on the fence, moral issues. When you have these attitudes, moral issues are no longer black and white. Everything is gray, and you just exist in the middle, and happy to exist in some state of gray. That's not a good thing for us to do, or a good way for us to be. Contrast that with the church of Smyrna, and you see there they had zeal. They were out digging. They were getting with it. They were doing what God created the church to do, and that was putting the word out and working. Whereas the church at Sardis, we saw, was cold. It was dead. It was worse than the church at Laodicea. So we can see by looking at this, the lukewarm is no better than the cold in Christ's sight. He said both of, you know, he was going to spew the lukewarm out of his mouth. When you think about that, you know, we can always make applications to ourselves, to the church here, how we're working. And we're made up of individuals, so individually, what can we say about our zeal? On chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "Because you say I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and know not that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." I don't know about you, but when I read the first part of that, "I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing," do you consider yourself today rich? When you look at the world around us, do we consider ourselves rich? I don't think a lot would, but a lot do. I consider myself rich in the fact that, you know, God provides us all that we need. When we look around us, we see many that do without. We got to be careful because we live in a country that's so blessed and so rich in possession that we don't become like Laodicea. That was one of the problems that the Laodiceans had. They did have great possession. And when great possession comes into our life, when we put our effort in possessions and our attention into our possessions, where does our faith or our trust usually go? With our possessions, don't it? And that's exactly what they had done. They saw no need of anything. We've got to be careful as Americans today, and we live in a country like we do, that we lack for nothing, that we don't fall into this same trap that the Laodiceans do today. When in fact, the Laodiceans were not. They were putting their faith in their own possessions, but they were totally lacking. Because they were totally lacking spiritually. He described them as wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. They saw themselves as comfortable, didn't they? Possessions were great. Need of nothing. When in fact, they were in need of everything.
When you look at Paul's writing in the book of Colossians, he states in chapter 2, verse 4, "I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those who are in Laodicea." So Paul has concern. He writes in that epistle, mentioned three or four times in chapter 4, verse 13, "For I bear him witness, he has a zeal for you and those who are in Laodicea." He goes to verse 15, "Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea." In verse 16 he says, "Now when the epistle is read among you, see, it is also read at the church of the Laodiceans." Mm-hmm. So at one time, a lot of prayer and effort went into those. Right. And so if you look at the contrast of where they once was, and
Effort was made, wasn't it? Yeah. Effort was made on their behalf to try to remedy the problems that they had. Their problem is they had lost their sense of value. They had placed their sense of value in their physical things and not their spiritual things. They'd lost that completely. They needed everything. Most of all, what they needed was this dependence on God, because they had no dependence as far as the physical things go. And they went to sleep on the spiritual matters, putting their total faith in that. They didn't see that dependence that they had. Too much confidence in themselves. I thought about a lot of Christians lose their sense of stewardship, because that's what we are, aren't we? We're slaves of righteousness. We're workers for Christ. You take a person who is very well-to-do, a person who spends their existence with those who do for them, it makes it easy for you to lose your vision, your aptitude of what you need to be doing, because you fall into this trap of being so well-to-do and people to do for you that you lose that desire to do for others. You fall into this trap of having things done to you. People that have a lot are lulled into these false senses of security, depending on what they've done themselves. what the Laodiceans needed was exactly what Christ gave them, and that's what they needed. What we all need today is we need preaching, don't we? Preaching that will disturb us if we sit in a haze, if we're sitting in a slumber, if we're sitting lukewarm, sitting idle. We need preaching that wakes us up, that alerts us, that puts us into action. I was looking and I saw this saying and I thought it was kind of right in a sense, and I wanted to share it with you. I don't know who worded this. It was not me, but I found it. And it said, the purpose of preaching is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. Makes a lot of sense, don't it? Because if we're comfortable, we're resting on our laurels, we're not making progress headway. We're not working. We don't need to be comfortable. We need to be working. We need to be aware of how needy we are and how dependent that we are on God. And let that drive us. Let that be the motivation that drives us. This church of Laodicea, see, had lost its sense of aim, but it had lost its sense of purpose. It was no longer out digging. No longer out doing what he asked it to do. They'd lost their joy of winning souls or winning the lost. They were just a wretched, miserable group. We know that because the comment was made. They're poor. They're naked. They're blind. In this state, when you're in a state of lukewarmness, when you're in a state of indifference, do you think you're attractive to a world who is seeking truth? Well, no. They see indifference all around them, don't they? What's the world looking for? The man that the heart is good and he's truly looking to make his life better. He's looking for God. He's seeking God, but what does he need to see in us? Confidence, doesn't he? Zealous, able to help him. A lot of times when people come to us with questions, we need to be able to him. They're looking for the light and the salt that Christ talked about so much. They're not looking for indifference. They can find that anywhere. That's not a problem at all. Indifference is what paralyzed these Laodiceans. It paralyzed their efforts. It robbed their effectiveness. It diminished or destroyed their attractiveness to the world around them. So they sat in this neutral state. This neutral state that we can clearly add was what was going to cause them to be removed. On verse 20, we look in this Revelation 3, verse 20. It says, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock." That comment alone is evident that Christ was put outside of them, wasn't he? When we obey the gospel, we become a member of the body of Christ, don't we? The body has to be within. We see here that Christ is without them. It's outside of them. They've left the body. And we can say that because Christ wanted back in. He was wanting them to correct their problems. They were outside of Christ. He was knocking for them to open the door. We see that Christ does not and cannot abide in a half-hearted life or a half-hearted church. He will spew us out of his mouth. We see the Laodiceans had to change. They had to change for the better, didn't they? They were going to have to make some commitment. They were going to have to get busy. He admonished them not to only do that, but he admonished them to do it quickly. Correct this problem immediately and get to it. He said if they didn't, he was going to remove their candlestick. He don't want this lukewarm. He don't want this just putting in our time, set neutral. He wants us out working. He wants a zealous, hot church. It's active, carrying out our mission. Remember the commission that Christ Himself gave in Matthew 28. This mission to be out and to be saving souls and to be taking the gospel out. So we can easily make that application, you know, to ourselves individually or to our group as a congregation. You know, we have to be committed and we have to be working, don't we? Seems like anything you want to add to that, because that's a real good subject that we could go for a while. I put down on your study sheet some admonitions that come to Christians. The Church of Laodicea in and of itself is a good lesson. We can make a lot of applications to ourselves that Christ is not going to accept us dropping back and just rearing back on our laurels. We've got to get out. We've got to work. A lot of generalities. And the reason I think about this is I had a conversation this week with a worker that was addressing some concerns, raising a daughter, and concerns that what was being seen in the world versus what he was trying to instill in her. And we were making some generalities in some subject areas where there's not a lot of scripture, thou shalt not. And we were making some applications, some generalities, you know, of what we're always to glorify God in all that we do, aren't we? And there's a lot of these generalities, these separating ourselves from the world, all this stuff that comes up in our generalities, but they're all encompassing. We need to take them very seriously. I put some of these admonitions to Christians down here that conflicted with what the Laodiceans were given to Christ, but were good examples of what he gave them as counsel later on that they needed to do. Matthew 6:33 was the first one, and we often recite that. We were not going to read these because of the time. But Matthew 6:33 tells us what? Seek Him first, right. We got to seek Him first. That wasn't something the Laodiceans were doing. They weren't seeking Him at all. They were sitting back. We don't read of a lot of persecution, probably because of the fact they weren't doing anything. There was nothing to be persecuted about. And there was a lot of persecution going on in the church back then. Maybe it was to avoid, like we began our talk, to avoid this persecution. They were willing to drop back and compromise, relax, to avoid that. Romans 12:1-2. What do we learn in Romans 12:1-2? Right. We've got to present ourselves as a living sacrifice, conformed to His Word. Well, a good study on sacrifice, and we've done this in the past, you won't go very far and you'll realize of what God demands in our sacrifice. He demands the same thing in sacrifice that He demands in our lives today. He wanted the first, the best. He wanted to be number one in our sacrifices. And we've got to think about that every Lord's Day that we come together here to worship. We're coming before Him as the priests did of the old law. What state are we coming in His presence in? What state is our life in? Are we bringing ourselves righteous? Not because of the way we've lived, but because He gave us this ability to remit our sins. Are we coming before Him unspotted? Are we bringing a sacrifice to Him that's worthy of our Creator? Not something lukewarm. Not what's left over from our physical lives. Number 3, Matthew 7:21, James 1:22 tells us to be doers of the Word. Not just ones who pay lip service. We got to be workers. We got to be out digging, don't we? John 4:24, Hebrews 10:25, and Matthew 5:18. When you hit Hebrews 10:25, most of you probably keyed in on that. We're to meet regularly with God's people. And the reason that we do that is because He demands true worship. True worship is what He asks of us. He has asked of us the 5 acts of worship. He's told us what He wants of us. So true worship is what He asked of us, And that's what we are to give Him. 1 Corinthians 16:1-2, we usually read that after our Lord's Supper, don't we? So we probably remember the subject of that. 2 Corinthians 9:6-7. We're to give unselfishly and regularly. That was God's purpose. Matthew 9:37-38. Chapter 28:18-20. John 15:2. We'll learn there that workers or laborers are needed. Not only are we needed, we're needed to be developing more workers, aren't we? We need to be out seeking those. Pray for laborers to work in God's vineyard. There's never enough help. Never, ever. We always need more. There's always souls to be saved that we should be out. We should never take an attitude of we're caught up or we're all right and take our ease. That's costing people their lives, their souls. Number 7, Matthew 20:25-28 and chapter 16:24-25. Strive to be that servant to others. We talked earlier in our quarter about weighing in the balance the time that we devote to self and self-interest as opposed to the time we spend with God or for others' interest and work. That's a litmus test that will show us exactly where our commitment is, because our works, what we do, tells us more about ourselves, doesn't it? Lip service is one thing, but God wants doers, don't He? He wants zealous workers. Strive to be a servant, a helper to others. That requires more than just helping. That requires that we dwell, that we think, we concentrate on one another. That's why it's so important we spend time together. It's so important that we know one another and we love one another, because I can't know what somebody wants if I don't know them. They can't know and come to my aid if they don't know me. Number 8, Matthew 22:37-40, John 13:34-35, and chapter 14-15. Love one another. Not an option, is it? The world will tell you today, well, they did this or they did that. You know, I would love them, but here's what they did to me. The world will relieve you of that obligation if you listen to them. That you don't have to love. But Christ has never, ever excused us from love. There's no reason that we can't love. There's times that we may not love, but there's times, those are the times that we better be dug in. We better be working on it. We better be changing things in ourselves, because we have to love our enemies. We have to love even though that other person doesn't love. Even though that other person doesn't change, it doesn't relieve us of our obligations. Matthew 25:33-40, number 9. Talks about our talents, our abilities, our money, our resources, what we have. That's what we're to use. And our last admonition, 2 Peter 1:5-10, reminds us that we better be a diligent Christian. Seeking Him out, knowing Him, doing what He requires of us, working for Him. That leaves us with our counsel that Christ gave to Laodicea. They were to seek for the true riches that was found in Christ. They were to seek to be clothed with God's righteousness for true beauty. They were to seek for better sight by the enlightening Word of God. They were to strive to be overcomers. Today, the world just chooses to modify, ignore, recreate, rewrite God's Word or whatever. It's a lot easier to do that to them than it is to change their physical lives. He won't accept that, will He? We've got to be overcomers of the hardships that we have and the problems that we have. Number 5, they were to hear what the Spirit was saying to the church. How does the Spirit speak to us today? Through the Word. They were to be zealous and to repent, weren't they? Immediately. Change their ways. Get back into work. They were to open that door and let Christ back in among them. That mere fact of them having to open that door and let Christ back in them shows us that they had left the body of Christ. They had stepped out of that. And they were not in a shape, a condition, a state that they were considered in that body. Ask ourselves, if we push Jesus out of our lives, compare ourselves to the Laodiceans. Anything anybody wants to add? I know I've ran over a little bit. I'm sorry, but we want to get done next week. Thank you.